Sleepless in Seattle is sort of an unofficial sequel to When Harry Met Sally. It stars Meg Ryan, was directed and co-written by that film's screenwriter Nora Ephron, features the earlier film's director Rob Reiner in a small role, and Harry Connick Jr. sings. Our pinch-hitting film critic Kevin Whitehead says it's all calculated to copy its predecessor as the date movie of the summer.
The premise of Sleepless in Seattle is actually pretty inventive. A love story where the couple doesn't meet until the end of the movie. Tom Hanks is Sam, a widowed dad in Seattle, still grieving but trying to start dating again because his son needs a mother. Meg Ryan is Annie, an uncommonly coddled feature writer for the Baltimore Sun, who becomes preoccupied with Sam despite never having seen him or knowing much about him. She's also engaged. Annie falls for Sam after hearing him talk on the radio and realizes what a great and sensitive guy he is. You'd be amazed how infrequently that happens in real life. This is the sort of fluff Preston Sturges built great screwball comedies from in the 1940s. More or less rational people go into a frenzy when they fall in love with someone who shouldn't be right for them. They're too crooked, too square, too pregnant, or in this case, too far away. But just as the soundtrack to Sleepless in Seattle gives us classic saloon songs strangled by yuppie mascots Carly Simon and Harry Connick, the movie turns Sturges' dance of panic into a new age group hug. It cuddles the action with portents and meaningful coincidences, even as the movie lets on that they know that you know stuff like this mostly just happens in movies. Even Annie's deadpan editor, Rosie O'Donnell, tells her to go for it. Sturges' characters never had time to sit around mulling over their options or studying maps of the lower 48. With this long-range non-relationship, there's lots of time for stuff like that. Here's Annie talking with her brother, played by David Hyde Pierce.
Why did you get married? Was it all trumpets and fireworks and...
I got married because Betsy said we had to break up or get married, so we got married.
But when you first met her, did you believe that she was the only person for you, that in some mystical, cosmic way it was fated?
Annie, when you're attracted to someone, it just means that your subconscious is attracted to their subconscious, subconsciously. So what we think of as fate is just two neuroses knowing they're a perfect match.
You don't have to be a critic to read Sleepless in Seattle as a post-AIDS love story, when physical contact is reduced to the touch of a hand. Not that the movie's heavy. It still goes in for cheap laughs, like Sam's 8-year-old calling his dad's date a hoe, and it guns down cardboard targets like Annie's stuffy brother or her sniffling fiancé or Sam's desperate new girlfriend. And yet, there are things to like about it. Meg Ryan has toned the perky thing way down. She spends about half the movie just getting in or out of cars, but she also does a good job of playing major scenes opposite a portable radio or a computer terminal instead of the typically likable Tom Hanks. And the script plants enough clues to convince you Annie and Sam will hit it off once they meet and after the movie is over. Not that that rules out a sequel, of course. The whole movie is one long build-up to the scene when they do meet, on the observation deck of the Empire State Building. It's a very movie-ish scene, shot on a set. Director Nora Ephron and her actors handle it just right. They don't lean on the big moment, just walk through it and let the situation carry itself. Very deft. Ephron can tread lightly where it really counts, but she tracks you through an awful lot of muck to get you there.
Kevin Whitehead is a critic and record annotator based in New York. Stephen Schiff will be back next week. I'm Marty Moscowane, and this is Fresh Air.